Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Midwest Madness, your true crime cult conspiracy encrypted podcast. I'm Emily.
And I'm Danielle.
I'm on a timeline.
Like, Emily just like cold started us. Like I was in the middle of the end of a sentence. And then she's like, all right, you started it.
Sorry.
Oh, what an asshole. You're hilarious.
Emily, I got places to be.
No, I know. I know. And it always seems like we kind of lose track of time, too.
Sometimes we just talk a lot.
Well, there's that. And then, like, I to catch you up on some shit that happened. So, like.
Oh, my God. This is how I know I'm getting old. It's because my knees, like, if they bend for too long.
If you sit in one spot for too long, your whole body doesn't want to move anymore. I asked Allie the other day. I was like, do you sometimes, like, do your hips just, like, not hip? And she's like, yeah.
But that's been her forever.
I know.
Because of dance.
That's true. But I was like, oh, my God, my hips.
Yeah, it's my knees.
Yeah, I can give you some workouts from our PT for your knees if you want.
I mean, they don't hurt. I just need, I stretch them out, like,
they just get a little achy.
They just get a little stiff.
Yeah. All right. Welcome to 30s.
Yay.
All right. So as you heard last week, my story is also a missing person.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, mine is also a child.
Oh, God. So sorry.
So Leanna Warner was 5 years old on June 14th, 2003, when she was last seen walking home from a friend's house. Her family lived in Chisholm, Minnesota.
Oh.
And Chisholm is in northern Minnesota, and it is near Hibbing.
So I was going to say, that's like...
It's like, it looked like less than a half hour from Hibbing.
I'm pretty sure, like Chisholm, Hibbing is like, they go to the same schools.
I think
stuff.
So too.
Yeah.
So...
Small town.
Yeah. Really
teeny tiny.
Really small town. And very far north. Like, I would say closer to Canada than to the Twin Cities.
To the Twin Cities, yeah.
So, I would guess, like, by an hour, maybe, do you think? Like, probably. 2 hours to Canada, 3 to the cities?
Probably, yeah.
So, Leanna's family was Leanna and her parents, Tiffany Kaylin Whitaker, who went by Kaylin, and Christopher Warner. The couple had met in 1996, and Leanna was born 2 years later on January 21st, 1998. Kaylin and Christopher had moved to Chisholm just a few months before having Leanna, and Leanna was known as a very brave child who was outgoing, friendly, and they said that she had extremely advanced survival instincts. So what I took that to mean was, like, she was really street smart.
And, like, I take it as she's, like, outdoorsy.
See, I think it was, like, she spends a lot of time outside, but she's not being, like, reckless in any way. She's not, like, trusting every person she meets. And, like she's friendly, but she's not, like, hey, little girl, want to help me find my puppy? And she's, like, okay. I think it'd be, like, I don't know. I think is kind of, that's kind of how I took it to mean, because, like, that seems like a survival instinct to me.
How old was she?
Five.
Okay.
Yeah.
Never mind then. I had a theory, but she's too young for my theory. So.
Okay. So on June 14th of 2003, Leanna was seen walking barefoot home from a friend's house that was roughly a block and a half from her home. Kaylin told police that she and Leanna had been at Side Lake Rummage Sale, which I believe is like a big rummage sale that they hold at the lake, which when I first was doing research, I was like, oh, that must just be like a rummage sale. I think it's at the lake because of something that happens that we come across later.
Oh, okay.
So, when they had gotten home, Kaylin wanted Leanna to go rest, but she had begged to go play with a friend instead. Kaylin agreed to let Leanna go, but told her that she had to be home by 5 p.m., and this was around 4:30. So when Leanna got to her friend's house, there was nobody home, so she decided to, like, go home and was seen walking back home between 5 and 5:15. So when Leanna hadn't arrived home, Kaylin began to panic, and by 5:30, she started searching for Leanna and asked the neighborhood for help. When they hadn't found her by 9 p.m., Christopher and Kaylin contacted the police and let them know that their daughter was missing. So that's another similarity between our stories that I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Because, like, your family didn't immediately call either. And this family in a tiny town in Minnesota also didn't call. So, like.
So I feel like that just goes to show.
Right. That there's nothing suspicious about it. You just, like. I'm sure you're in such a panic that you don't know what else to do other than try and find your kid
yourself.
And then you're like, oh shit, like this is taking way longer. Something's not right. I should, maybe we should call the police.
Yeah.
So, let's see. When Leanna went missing, she was around 3 feet tall with brown hair and dark brown eyes. Her hair was cut into a short bob, and she was described as petite, being roughly 50 pounds. She was wearing a sleeveless blue denim dress, a belt, orange underwear, a flower earring with a red garnet in her right ear, and was barefoot. I don't know why she was only wearing one earring. I mean, kids do weird stuff, so like...
I feel like sometimes mom only wears one earring.
That's true.
Like she has like one permanently in there. Yeah. You know, like right now I only have one in.
I do that too. Actually, yesterday I didn't have my two lowers
in. Yeah. So
maybe she just was like, I slept on that side last night, so I took out the earring and just never put it back in the morning. Whatever. Who knows, like,
5-year-olds.
I just thought it was kind of funny. It was like, oh, one little earring. So when police arrived at the Warner's house, they started a second search that included police, firefighters, expert searchers, and search and rescue dogs. They searched barns, garages, sheds, and even went to abandoned iron ore mines just in case Leanna had fallen into one of them and gotten lost. So up there, it's, as you know, and our listeners might know, it's very rich for mining up in that part of Minnesota. There's a lot of iron ore. They actually call it the Iron Range here in Minnesota. So, like, that's a big income. And so it is a distinct possibility that she could have gotten into a cave and just kind of wandered further into the cave.
Yeah.
And just not been able to find her way out. Yeah. So, unfortunately, they did not find her. And they searched for the next 48 hours, but there was no sign of Leanna. The search did continue over the next month, and authorities continue searching with more dogs and some helicopters, but still nothing was found until about a month later. Someone from Chisholm reported finding children's bare footprints near Long Ear Lake, which is where Leanna was with her mom on the day she went missing. So that's why I was saying I think that Romer's seal is held at the lake.
Okay, let me get this straight. So they said they saw them on the day, the footsteps on the day of the rummage sale, or they saw them a month later?
This is a month later, but I'm wondering if it was like a weird spot for there to be footprints.
They think that the footprints stayed for a full month?
Yeah.
Oh, damn. That's,
I don't know if it wasn't, I don't know if it wasn't rainy. Yeah, I don't know.
Like a full month, no rain. Like,
right.
That's a little.
But I mean, it happens.
It
right?
happens. Just so, not like, very often.
It was enough for the police to be like, okay, let's go out there and see what we can find. It was enough where the police actually drained the lake to look for Leanna, but nothing was found.
Jesus.
Yeah. So when winter rolled in, unfortunately, they had to call off the searches due to the weather. In the summer of 2004, they picked up on the search again, but no new evidence was found and no other searches have been conducted since the summer of 2004. Another weird little side note is in October of 2003, which was like 4 months after she went missing, Kaylin was charged with hit and run against Christopher when she hit him with her car.
Oh.
That's all the information I have. I just thought it was weird. I don't know if they were like fighting or if it was like a legit accident or like she didn't realize she hit him and then she drove away and that's why it was hit and run. You know, I don't know if she hit his physical body, if she hit his car. Like, I don't know. That's all the information I had. So I just thought it was weird enough to mention.
Okay.
So there have been some people of interest in Leanna's disappearance, but no actual suspects. So the first was Christopher's ex-wife. He and Kaylin had both been married before they had gotten together. But Christopher's ex-wife was kind of a piece of work. And he was actually in the process of getting a restraining order against her as she had made threats against Kaylin and Leanna. But police couldn't find anything that connected her to Leanna's disappearance, so they moved on pretty quickly. The next person of interest was Matthew James Curtis. Matthew James Curtis was 24 years old when Leanna went missing, and in August of 2003, he was arrested for possession of child pornography.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So, after his arrest, police got a search warrant for his truck, which they searched for DNA, but no evidence was found. And in September of 2003, just before his court date, Matthew's body was found in his truck a few miles outside of Chisholm, where he had died by suicide.
Oh.
There have been some local speculation that he actually was murdered and his body was staged, but police have not found any evidence of that, so they have closed the case and determined it as a suicide.
Okay.
So, excuse me. The next person of interest was Joseph Edward Duncan III. He was a sex offender who was accused of kidnapping two children in Idaho. And when police were going through his computer in an unrelated case, they found an encrypted file that made reference to Leanna's disappearance. Joseph kept an online diary, and in 2004, he wrote that he was afraid that he was going to be blamed for Leanna's disappearance. So the fact that he knew about the missing girl from where he was living in Idaho and had a history of attempted kidnapping, it was a suspicious enough for police to look into him as a suspect, but he had not, or a person of interest. I think the difference is suspect means that you have like some evidence, and person of interest means that like something is not right about you, so we're going to look into you. I think that's the difference. I don't know that for a fact, but it was, the article I read was very specific that he was a person of interest, not a suspect. So I just want to make sure that I don't get us in trouble.
Okay.
So he thought it was, the police thought it was suspect enough, but he had not been in Chisholm at the time of Leanna's disappearance. And it didn't seem like he had any real connections to the area, but they just thought it was really weird that he knew about this missing child, because...
Yeah, that is weird.
The media isn't really what it is now back in 03, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it was obviously national news was what it is, but it wasn't what it is.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's just weird because, like, why would he think he was going to get blamed?
Right. Like, unless you had some connections there, but I didn't see anything about any connections there in the couple articles I read. So... The next person of interest was one that they called, quote, the little old lady, end quote, which honestly is kind of creepy sounding. But Christopher and Kaylin had told police that Leanna had been acting strangely in the like month prior to her disappearance, that she had been sleeping in her closet to avoid the, quote, monsters, end quote, outside that were going to get her. And once had packed a suitcase with all of her favorite things, telling her parents that she wanted to go live with her new family. Another time, her parents had found her playing with a case full of Barbie dolls that they hadn't bought for her. And when they asked Leanna where she'd gotten them, she told them that she got them from, quote, a little old lady, end quote.
That's weird.
Yeah. So, super weird. I don't know, like, if they never bought her Barbies, but it was enough where they were like, wait, this is not something we've given you. So, like, where did this come from?
Yeah.
Because, like, for me, mom and dad would have never known if a Barbie wasn't my Barbie, because I loved Barbies. But, like, you and Allie were more Polly Pocket kids. So, like, if you all of a sudden had, like, this huge influx of Barbies, they'd be like,
yeah,
this is weird. Where did this come from? So, I don't know what the case was, but it was enough where they were like, we don't know where this came from. That's concerning. So... Unfortunately, police didn't find any evidence of a little old lady. So the final, and I'm going to call them people of interest, are the, what I'm calling the unknown men. So each of these were witnessed by different people and don't seem to be connected to one another, but they were all brought up as people of interest. So the first one is, several neighbors claimed to see a man in his mid-30s walking around in the neighborhood. He was described as 5'10" and around 155 pounds with a dark tattoo of a star or a sun on his right arm. Another witness described seeing a maroon and blue Cadillac that was driven by an African-American man who seemed to be in his late 20s or early 30s with a bald or shaved head. There was also reports of an unfamiliar older rusty brown pickup truck that was driven by a Caucasian man with curly black hair. And none of these men were identified, and it remains unclear if any of them had anything to do with Leanna's disappearance. But as you said at the top of the episode, Chisholm's not a big place. So, like, if you have someone that's unfamiliar to more than, like, four people, people are going to notice.
Yeah.
So the fact that there were at least three people reported around that time or on that actual day, that's a lot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it seems a little weird. But like I said, none of them were ever identified, so we don't know. Leanna's family, which now consists of two younger sisters, Carly and Whitney, have continued to look for Leanna. Kaylin unfortunately died in 2022 of lung cancer, but her sisters, so Carly and Whitney, have continued to look for Leanna, and they keep her case in the public eye. They talked to Audio Chuck's The Deck, as Leanna is the ace of hearts in Minnesota's Unsolved Cases deck of cards, and they have provided their DNA and genetic testing in the hopes that it would help find their sister. And they have done that on like 23andMe and in police database.
Yeah.
So it's, they have it in more than one place. So like if she later like uploads her DNA to a 23andMe and all of a sudden she's like, oh my gosh, I have two sisters. This is crazy. There we go.
Yeah.
So when Kaylin talked to WIDO News in 2013, so that's, you know, 10 years after Kaylin went missing, she said that the family believed that Leanna was still alive because there was no evidence to show otherwise. And then the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children has released an age progression photo of Leanna, and that was done in 2024. When she would have been 26 years old. So I will try and remember to post that on socials so that if she looks familiar to any of our listeners, they can reach out. So my sources were Wikipedia and WIDO.com.
So what do you think happened?
So like it's really hard because whenever I think, God, it's been so long and there's not been a sight at all, I think of Jacob Wetterling. Yeah. Right? It was like 27 years and there was not a speck of evidence for her where he went. So like, while I want to hope that she's still alive because no bodies or no remains have been found, they're not that far from the Boundary Waters.
Yeah, I know.
They're just not. That's what I'm thinking. And
there's so many places.
You could lose a body and then the animals take care of those remains, which is as horrifying as that is to think about. Like, the reality is it would be really easy to do.
Yeah.
So I hope she's alive and I hope she is found.
Me too.
But
that's our hope for all of
these. Right. Right. And that's why these are so hard. 'Cause it's like, there just is no answer.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So do you have any other thoughts?
I just agree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fact that they're so far north and there's so much space up there is what makes it hard for me to really believe that she's still alive.
Yeah. And the other thing is too, is like, I don't know, that far north to just like a kidnapping where maybe somebody did want to put her into a new family, but it's like, it's just such a random.
Right.
Like, you don't go there unless you're going there for a reason.
I mean, I went to school like less than an hour away from there and I never stopped in Chisholm and I never stopped in Hibbing. Like,
so for it just to be just like random and then, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's my thought, but okay. Socials, MW Madness Podcast on Instagram and Gmail and Midwest Madness Podcast Group on Facebook.
Yes.
All right, everybody, have a great rest of your week, and we will talk to you all next Tuesday.
Bye.